We'll open in prayer today. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for all we've heard so far and the blessing and the challenge that it's been in our hearts. We thank you for the responsive and tender hearts of the ladies, and we pray that you'll continue to use your word. And even as we look at our Lord Jesus in this session, and as we see his example of a true servant, a servant that honored his Father in every way, we thank you for his wonderful example. And for those along the road of Galilee and Judea that he was able to serve. And we thank you especially for those that were able to serve him. And we pray that you will use this hour as a blessing and encouragement in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of summers ago, I spent the whole summer in Galilee and Judea. Not really. It just seemed like it. I spent the whole summer in my office reading about Judea and Galilee because I was working on a book on Mark, and it was I always have loved the book of Mark. All of the Gospels speak and portray our Lord Jesus in such a wonderful way. And Mark especially, the shortest of the Gospels, and the I just love his style as he expresses himself and how he shows the servant side of our Lord Jesus. And that is the theme of his book. The book of Mark is as the Lord Jesus. The key verse in Mark is Mark 10:43 and 44. And these, I'll read these to you. But so shall it, in a minute I'll tell you what brought on these words of the Lord Jesus. So shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And this little, these words of the Lord Jesus came at a crucial time in Jesus. Jesus had a school for servants, and the disciples were the students in that school. And they were not getting the things that the Lord was trying to teach them. They weren't catching on. They were listening to Jesus, and they were thinking that Jesus was he kept saying to them, pretty soon we're going to go down to Jerusalem. We're going to go down to Jerusalem. And then he would tell them what was going to happen when they got in Jerusalem. But they never listened to that part. They thought about Jerusalem. When they got down to Jerusalem, he was going to set up his throne, and they were going to be a part of the kingdom reigning down there. They were going to overthrow the Romans, all of those oppressors that were there. And so these dear disciples start out with the Lord Jesus, and they're in his school for servants. He just had just the 12. And the thing about these wonderful men were, when they started out, when he called them, they immediately left all and followed him. You think about that. They left all, you remember. And they followed him for all of that period of time, probably three years or so that he was here on this earth before he went to Calvary. And you think, to me, when I think about the disciples, it's like looking in a mirror. Because when you look, you see yourself. When you see them, you're looking at yourself. Because we learn so much from each one of their lives. Some we learn their strengths and we learn their weaknesses. And it's just like Ben said this morning about Israel. All of those things were given to us for an example, so that we can learn and not repeat the things that the hard times that they went through. We can read and we can learn that how Jesus wants a true disciple to be and a true servant. But you know, you read so much about, I notice in everything that the scriptures that Ben has read in the Old Testament, has so much to say about serving God. And you can't read very much in Deuteronomy. I mean, that's a continual theme. You serve him with all of your heart. You love him with all of your heart. You serve him with all of your heart. It's a theme that's throughout the Bible. And then you get right in the middle of the Psalms there in Psalm 100, where you are commanded to serve the Lord with gladness. That's a command. That little five-verse psalm is a blessing. But the command that's there, we are to serve him, and we are to serve him with gladness. And, you know, sometimes I wish, I've been saved now for over 50 years. Many of you have also, or you're not old as me, but you've been saved a long time, and you've been serving God. I wish I can always say that I serve the Lord with gladness. I wish I could always say that I'd served him in a way that lifted him up and not me. Don't you wish that, those of us old road warriors that have been going along for many, many years? I wish I'd always been an example. I think about the younger women. We have so many young women in our church who are so faithful serving the Lord. And I think as an old warrior, like I call myself an old warrior, I'm pretty old, but it would break my heart if I were a poor example to them, if I discouraged them at all in their service for God. And that's continually on my heart. And because a lot of times we serve the Lord and we serve him with gladness, but sometimes our flesh can just rise up and take over, and you're just in a big battle with your flesh. Are you ever in a battle with your flesh? I think that's true with all of us, isn't it? But we want to serve him. We want to serve him. You know, I love Psalm 92 because it says that we are to be still bringing forth fruit in old age. I love Psalm 92:14. And I know so many people that are bringing forth fruit in old age. We're not just, a time. I was speaking over on the East Coast someplace near Myrtle Beach. And the pastor's wife said to me, she said, "We have people that come down here and retire, but when they come and retire, they don't want to do anything in the church. They don't even have suits. The men don't even bring suits with them. I mean, they're retired, and they don't want to be a deacon in the church. They don't want to, you know, they've already served the Lord. They've served the Lord all those years up north, and they've always been dreaming about the time when they can go down south and sit down." And, you know, that just kind of breaks your heart. I felt so bad for that pastor's wife. She says, "We can't get men that want to be deacons in our church, just a small church. They don't want to keep on serving." And they forget what the psalmist said. He said, you know, you're accountable to bring forth fruit in old age, even in old age. You know, those are the people. I have a whole list of people like that. And those are the people that I pray for on Friday. If you have a prayer list that you break down, you don't want to leave anybody out. And I call those people, they are the redwoods in God's forest. You know, we're all trees. We shall be like a tree planted by the, like Ben spoke about last night. But these people are redwoods. I'm so thankful that I have redwoods in my life, aren't you? Precious people that are still serving God. They're in their 80s now. Many of them are in their 80s, past that, still bringing forth fruit. Their leaves have not withered. I don't want my leaves to wither, do you? I love Psalm 1. And all of those portions, get back in that Jeremiah portion when you get home and dig around in that. That was precious last night. But I was thinking about Jesus. He our main example. So many of the people that came to him, and you know that while he was here on earth, everywhere he went, he was just thronged with people. Everywhere he went. But Jesus knew that a lot of them were there not because they loved him. Not because they loved him, but because of what he could do for them. That's why. And he knew that because he knows their hearts. he knew their hearts. All the while, he knew that their hearts wanted his medical or his some kind of physical help and not his spiritual. And they turned and went off, and they're never heard from anymore. But Jesus came to minister, just like Mark said. And this, it says that also in Philippians, in where Paul describes him so beautifully in that way. But, you know, Jesus is the King of servants, the one who took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. What an example. And the man that was writing that, what a great servant he was, Paul. From the very day he started on the Damascus Road until he died in Rome, he was a servant. He was going forward. He was going forward. That was another, he was another redwood. He was like a redwood. He was going to bring forth fruit in his old age. Now, some of you are still very young. Bring forth fruit when you're young. But when you're older, you say, I'm just going to let all of the young people work now. I'm going to let all of them teach the Sunday school classes. I'm going to let all of them volunteer and do. Unless you have a physical reason for some kind that you cannot physically do something, say, you know, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to be at my church and I'm going to have a part because my church is so important in my life. And besides, I want to be a testimony to those that are coming behind me. Isn't that what we want? That's what we want to have. And some of the people that Jesus served, this is the reason I love Mark. He opens up and you get into the second chapter and you meet this wonderful lady that you know very little about, and that was Peter's mother-in-law. That was one of his first miracles, was at Peter's house. And I think about that woman, I love her, because you remember how she had the fever, she was so sick, and Jesus came in and he touched her and she got up. And what did she start to do? She began to serve him. She began to serve him. She'd been laying on the bed. I mean, really, they expected her to die. And Jesus touched her, of course. She got up. She got to serve supper that night for Jesus and his all of those that had been called that far, so far to be the disciples, including her own son-in-law, Peter. And then in the morning when he got up early and he was going to go out to be with his father, and the crowds were starting to come, and the disciples came up and said, Jesus, all these people down here, and they want to see you, because, I mean, word had spread fast about his mother-in-law. And everybody brought their sick ones to him. And the Bible says that he healed them. What a wonderful thing. And you start that in Mark and it goes all the way through, one right after another, people that Jesus ministered to. You think of the lepers that he touched. You think of the children that he touched. And you think of one of my favorite stories in Mark is the maniac of Gadara. What a story when you get into these and you get to know these people. I can tell you, and not because she's my friend, but Bennett's latest book on meeting him introduces you to the women that Jesus ministered to here on earth. I think it's one of the best things she's ever written. It was such a blessing to me, and it will be to you, because I want to get to know these women that ministered to Jesus. Now, Jesus ministered to so many women, but I want to know about those. Weren't there some that ministered to him? We know that he had the disciples. Weren't there some that took time? And we know of some. We know some specifically. And I'm gonna show you a little bit of that here. I get ahead of myself, but because I get so excited about this book of Mark. I just have come to love it so. But the disciples especially, in that they, you know, all the time, like I said a minute ago, they thought they were going to go and he was going to set up his throne. The Lion of Judah was going to be reigning down in Jerusalem. And they never, ever understood that he was going to instead be the sacrificial lamb. That wasn't the time for him to be the Lion of Judah. He was going to be the sacrificial lamb. He was going to be the one that was sacrificed for the sins of all mankind. And they never understood that. And even when that all happened, most of them were not there. But there were women there. There were women there. And that's some of the women that I want to remind you of today. And these weak disciples, as you think about them, and a lot of times we criticize them, but I'll tell you, don't ever forget what they became in the book of Acts. Don't ever forget the great men that they became in the book of Acts. Don't ever forget that one, these brothers, their conversation had preceded this, these key verses here in Mark. Where James and John wanted to be seated on either side of the Lord Jesus. And they even got their mother involved in that, in pleading with him to so they could sit beside the Lion of Judah when he was reigning down in Jerusalem. And bless their hearts, you know, James, he was the first one to have his head cut off. He was the first martyr. John was the last to die, and he died in Patmos as an old man. In exile, all of these men, these wonderful men, what they became in the book of Acts, that's where they became true servants of God. And we can read of them there, and what a blessing they are, what great servants. But I'm excited to get to you down to the faithful women of Galilee. You know, Jesus, when he began his ministry, he began up here in the top part of Israel, and that's what we know in Bible times as Galilee. That's where he was from. And he did most of his ministering up there. And then down here around Jerusalem, that was Judea. If I had a map, I could have, or if I had a PowerPoint, I could show you that. But I wasn't able to get you one today, girls. I'm sorry. But that's where we read about that there were also women that ministered to Jesus. When I read in Luke 8, this is one of my favorite. If you don't have these verses marked in Luke 8, verses 2 and 3, because, you know, you think about Jesus and his disciples, and the scripture says that Jesus didn't have a place to lay his head. All of that time he was walking, they were ministering, they were going here, they were going there, they were on the road, and, you know, you wondered, well, where did they eat? Where did they sleep? And all of these day-to-day things that are so important in life. But the Bible says in chapter 8 of Luke, he's the one tells us this. He tells us about certain women. Some of their names we know, but most of them we don't. These are women that had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. These are women that had met the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of them, of course, was Mary Magdalene, and we know all about her. And then you had Joanna, the wife of somebody that worked for Herod. And then you had Susanna. And then you have this big category, many others. Isn't that great that Jesus had many others, women? Now, what did these women do? What do you suppose they did? You know, we know the disciples left all to follow him. A lot of these women had, maybe they had independent means. And they left to follow him also. They followed him all over Galilee. And it says that they ministered to him. And then it says something else. He ministered to him of their substance. What they had, they gave to Jesus. You know, you like to imagine how they did that. What did they? Did they help provide food sometimes? Did they help care for some of the women and children that came to the where Jesus was speaking, whatever. What did they do? They ministered to him of their substance. They were servants. Isn't that a great group of women? And you notice, not all their names are given. Many others ministered unto him of their substance. I thank the Lord for those women that just ministered up in Galilee, and when he left Galilee for the last part of his ministry down here in Judea, they were down there too. That's a long way away from home. women. Some of these women single, some of them were married, some of them could minister sometimes, some could minister others perhaps, but all of them ministered of their time, and they served with their substance. Whatever they had, they gave to him and to his disciples. And that's why I love these women, because some of these women are the ones that are with him at Calvary. You see, there weren't many disciples there. John was there. Not many others. But standing far off, Matthew said, I think it's in Matthew, I got it written down, Matthew 27. It talks about the women, and those were the ones that were standing far off, and they were watching. These were women, some from Galilee, long way from home, some from down in that area. And then we know about precious people like Mary and Martha. We know about them, how they ministered to Jesus of their substance also, and how they gave of themselves, they gave of their time. I love those women, the certain women, and then the Calvary women, those that were beholding from afar off. They were just waiting up there. They were watching. Think of what they saw. They had followed Jesus. They knew that he had done no harm to any man. And they saw and they heard all. How could they bear it? How could they bear it to see him, the Son of God? After all that they'd seen people, him heal countless people. He'd done nothing but good. He went about doing good, the scripture said. And there he was. And these were the first women, some of them, that heard that he was risen indeed. That he was risen. What privileged women they were. Just like us. What privileged women we are to serve in the place where he's given to us and to obey his commands, the commands to serve him. And to serve him with gladness. I hope you have opportunity to do that. I hope you're taking opportunity to serve the Lord, and that you're in your heart, you know, when you serve, that you're doing it with gladness. Not because you want to please your pastor, and you do want to do that. You want to please the people that you're serving. But that's not who you're doing the serving for, because you're doing your service for God. Your reward may be little here. But, oh, when you stand before the throne, you see, Linda Phelps and I were talking about this last few weeks. That portion in Corinthians talks about gold and silver and precious stones. And then it talks about wood, hay, and stubble. And then, sadly, the two of us together said, we wish we didn't have so much wood, hay, and stubble in our lives. Sometimes you feel like you're just going about building big haystacks all of your life, and when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, and you're accountable for all that he's done for you, all he's given you, accountable for your deeds, and it's nothing but hay, and it just won't stand the test, and it goes up in flames, and then you don't have anything to lay down at his feet. You have nothing. If you have works that were done in the flesh, they're going to all burn up. If you complained about your service, if you complained about those you had to work with, you complained about your pastor, you complained about others that are in places of authority of you, I'm telling you, it's going to all burn up at the judgment seat, and then you won't have anything to lay down at Jesus' feet. And I think sometimes why it says in the Bible that he'll wipe away all tears, because just the thought of that makes tears come to my thinking. Lord, I'm going to need you to wipe away my tears. I'm going to be sorry that I walked in the flesh and that I didn't walk in the Spirit, and that the work that I did all of those years, I wasn't doing it for you. I was doing it for myself, and I was doing it in the flesh. And what a terrible big bonfire it's going to be. That's a powerful scripture and a powerful truth to deal with there. I want to have something to lay down at Jesus' feet, and I know you do too. something that you can honor him with, and you can all of the honor, because like Psalm 100 says, one of the reasons why that you serve him is because he is good. For the Lord is good. He is merciful. His mercy is everlasting. And his just his goodness, and you want to be able to lay something, have something to lay down to his feet. And we'll think just a minute here about your service for the King. We've woven some of that into it. I jumped over those unnamed. I love people in the Bible that are unnamed. It's fascinating. You know, if your girls that are near the door would like to open the door, it's just getting like a furnace in here. I think we overreacted a little minute ago. We were all freezing to death, and now we're all burning up. Miss Henderson is about ready to go to sleep right here, standing on her feet. I always like to think of the man that owned the donkey. You know, we're getting ready to come up here to Easter, and that wonderful story when Jesus gets into Jerusalem, and you read it here in Mark, his triumphal entry, and the King is coming. The King is coming into Jerusalem. And what's he going to come? Not in a chariot. The disciples must have been shocked, because you see, they thought the Lion of Judah was going to come into Jerusalem. But the Lion of Judah doesn't ride on a donkey. And there, when and they went to this, we don't know his name, the man that had the donkey. But he sent them to go get it and just say, the Lord has need of him. And the man said, that's fine, here he is. That man, unnamed servant. I love people like that. I just love people. And then the man that in all of Jerusalem, when Jerusalem was packed with people for the Passover, they were just packed. And Jesus said, we need a place to observe the last Passover, the Passover supper. They didn't know it was going to be the last. That was going to be the last one. And the disciples must have thought, well, we're a little late in trying to get a room for that. This place is packed, because Jerusalem, everybody had come from everywhere. And but no, there was a servant just telling, the Lord has need of this. And they had this wonderful upper room, this man. We don't know his name. I love unnamed people in the Scriptures like that. And God will give them their reward. We see how willingly they gave what they had. You see, they gave their donkey. They gave their most expensive room that they could have rented out for a lot of money to other people that wanted to observe the Passover. I think about Joseph of Arimathea, that gave his tomb. And he and Nicodemus that came and took care of Jesus. Now, those were not unnamed servants, but those were silent servants. They came out of, they had not been bold followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And at the right time, one of them went and begged the body of Jesus. They wanted to be sure his body was taken care of. They helped take it down off the cross. They helped to put it in a, to prepare it, and to that how they must have handled it with such care. I just love people like this. When you read, especially the Gospels, and as Easter is coming and you read these portions of Scripture and read the people that served Jesus that last week of his life, there were people there that were serving him. Sadly, most of them were not the disciples, but God raised up others. God raised up others. None of us are, God doesn't need us. You know that? He doesn't need us. I always wonder why the King of the Creator, the King, why does he use people like us? But he does. It's because we need him. It isn't that he needs us, but that he allows us. He allows us to serve him. You know, that's something you never get over. You just never get over that you can be a servant for the King of Kings. And you can be a servant of the King. What an honor that is in our world, to be a servant of the Queen. Or an earthly king or earthly queen. And people, very important people, hold those roles. But you know, Jesus uses people like us. I'm so glad he does. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that he does? And so I just like to ask you, what are you doing right now to serve God? I hope you have a place of service. I hope you say, well, somebody else took my place of service. Then God will give you another place of service. Don't get up the myth tree about something like that. Don't do it. I know that's an ancient statement. My daughter were here, she would roll her eyes. you know, so what? That's all right. You can serve here, and I'm going to serve over here. I mean, and we'll serve together. We can serve together, you know. Don't go around. Don't build haystacks, tumbleweeds, like Bennett said last night. That's what we'll end up being if we keep walking in the flesh and we're just rolling around, blown about by every wind of doctrine. I hope you're presently serving. And the thing we have to ask ourselves is, are we serving gladly? Now, you know, sometimes you get tired in the work, don't you? There are going to be a lot of people very tired tonight when they go home, including you who've just been here to attend, because it's you know, you're kind of out of your element. You're using extra energy and so on and so on. But I forget why I said that, but I know it was something important. Oh, Miss Henderson, you're serving gladly, and I hope you're looking for new opportunities to serve. You say, I'm just getting too old to serve. No, you're not. You're not getting too old to serve. Now, you may not be able to do what you did when you were 40 or 30, but friend, you can do something. There's some place you can serve in your church. And you know, your church, just like with mine here, you just have all kind of people that serve. We have people that serve in the school, people that serve in the various ministries of the church, and there are just countless ones. But look for opportunities, and then ask God to help you to serve there and to serve there gladly, and to be a blessing to the people that you're serving with. How important that is, because no matter our age or stage in life, there is something that we can do for the Lord and others. I don't care how old we are. Like I said in Psalm 92:14, we want to be bringing forth fruit in old age. You say, I just don't have the strength that I used to have. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? But let me tell you then, right before Psalm 92:14 is Psalm 92:10, where it says about him giving us fresh oil. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And I'm telling you, when you start out every morning, oh God, today, I want to be anointed with fresh oil, because you see, God will give you the strength to serve him. He'll give you the strength. He just doesn't tell you to serve him, but he will give you the strength to do it. He will anoint you with fresh oil. We've been studying Proverbs in Bible study this semester here at Our Ladies, and one of the precious verses that came out of that to me was, I didn't even know, was in Proverbs 1:23, about where he says that he will pour out his spirit upon me. Oh, that's divine help. I need his divine help if I'm going to do his work. And then he said, I will teach you my word. I will teach you my word. That's divine instruction. That's the second thing I need. I need divine help. I will pour out my spirit upon you. The Holy Spirit is my helper to do my work for God. He will give me the strength. He will anoint me with fresh oil. And then he says, I will teach you my word. That's divine instruction. He'll make the way possible. But there's a key, I think, to service, and I found this when an old fellow that lived a long time ago. Actually, he wasn't very old. He died before he was 40. And he lived up in Scotland, and he said this very smart thing. He said that no amount of activity in the Father's service will make up for the neglect of the Father. Doesn't that just stun you when you read it? Because dear Robert McShane said, if you're going to serve God and you're going to serve him in a way that honors him, you've got to first be with him. No amount of service can make up for your quiet time. See, you need to have your quiet time, and then you have your service. No amount of time to do that. And then we learn from Mary and Martha this truth that some smart person said, the time we spend with God is more important than the work we do with God. That's another thing that always, I got those things written in my Bible where I won't forget, because sometimes you get up in the morning and your feet hit the floor and you say, boy, I got a lot to do for God today that I just don't even have time to be with God. But you know, that's almost the way it is sometimes, because we have very busy, and some of you, your children are at home, and you know, I don't have any excuse. I feel, you know, my home is just myself and my husband. And so I have time now, you know, to sit down and have my time with God. Have my time with God in the morning. I don't have little people interrupting me. I don't have to have somebody to school at a certain time and all of those kind of things. But if we get a hold of this key, it's not just the service, the serving with gladness and how important that is, but it's before we serve is that we take time to be with the Father. We take time to get to know the Father, because the more we get to know Him, the more we love to serve Him. When we remember all the things that I mentioned to you a minute ago, that the psalmist talked about, how that He is our God and we are His people. We're the sheep of His pasture. You get to know these wonderful truths about God. He's our Creator, and that He's good. Oh, how good He is to us, and how the promises that He's given to us. I just pray that God will use you to be a fruitful service, and that 40 years from now, if He should tarry, you'll still be serving Him. You'll still be serving Him. In your old age, you will serve Him. But before you serve Him, that you will spend time with Him. Don't forget that. That's key. Remember those two little statements. This key. I'll tell you, one of the blessings in my life and my husband's life too is getting to know servants from the past. I love to rub shoulders with people from the past. I just love it. I love to rub shoulders with people like Mary Slessor, or with people like David Livingston. Or I love to read. Rosalind Goforth is one of my most favorite people to rub shoulders with. I rub shoulders with her all the time. I don't know, a great missionary to China at the turn of the, you know, 1800s, going into early 1900s. And we just spend our time, my husband and I, rubbing shoulders with these great servants. I tell you, the things you learn, because first of all, they were great servants. That's what we're talking about. They were people who served God. They served with gladness. They served, most of them, in very difficult places. They were pioneers. Some of them were pioneers. Some were come along later. And I've got some of these. This is why we have so many biographies in the bookstore. So, because I love these little children's biographies. There's a whole set of these about great missionaries. And they're beautifully illustrated, because I like to teach my little boys. I like my little grandsons to rub shoulders with great people from the past. And these are written in rhyming form. The illustrations are lovely, and the story, the life story of about, there's about 15 or so that we carry, William Carey and David, I just brought these, and George Mueller. If you just know this great man, George Mueller, you need to do that. And there's all of those are, Rosalind Goforth's husband is in one of those also. Adoniram Judson, that Mrs. Phelps taught on this morning, he's in that too. And we have these series too that we carry. This is another Judson. These are really, they're on the sale table. We're trying to clear out some of these so you can get these at good. But rub your shoulders, spend time in the presence of these servants. I tell you, it'll make a difference. And it'll make a difference to your children and to your grandchildren too. And I think about six of you, I put a little sticker on the back of your paper, because I thought, I don't have any huge door prizes, but for some of you that haven't won anything, You can choose from these. If you have a little star on the back of your paper, you can choose from any of these. Now, if you don't like these three, there's a lot more of those you can choose from in the bookstore. I'll tell you why I love this book about Rosalind Goforth. And this is an old printing of it. And I had this out the other night again, and I was reading it. And she has this wonderful poem in it. Now that I'm older, I can read this and benefit from it. Because she has this great poem, and it's called Called Back. Called Back. And the idea of it is, if you've gone ahead of me, and you've served God, and you've found him faithful, and you've leaned on his promises, and you've seen all of the wonderful things that he's done, well, will you call back and tell me that he can do the same thing for me? Will you call back? If you've gone a little way ahead of me, call back. 'Twill cheer my heart and help my feet along the stony track. And if perchance faith's light is dim because the oil is low, that is in my life, your call will guide my lagging course as wearily I go. Gives us opportunity, encouragement. I love that poem. And that's just what Rosalind Goforth does, the great Canadian missionary to China. She's so transparent. She has a great book, too, called How I Know God Answers Prayer. That has just fed my soul many, many times. If you ever can find that, it would profit you. I hope all of this has been a help to you in some way. It was given so quickly. I always, in teacher form, I have to make a note. I have to be sure you have something to go home so that when you get home, you have something to look at and to refresh yourself about the things that you've heard here. Because, you know, I always pray for people, especially on Monday, like after this retreat, after you're home and in your routine, I'm going to pray especially that God will continue to use these things in your life. The wonderful things you've heard in the other sessions and in the other breakout sessions, that when you get back into your routine of life, that you won't forget them, that God will use them. Use you to be stronger than ever before for your service for God, and so that your church can grow and your church can be strong, and so that you can encourage other people. We want to be a blessing that way. Serve the Lord. Serve him with gladness. Okay. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for the wonderful opportunity to serve you, that you've chosen even us to be able to do that, Lord. We never understand why. Thank you that you use the weak things of the world, and we're so aware of that. I pray that you would use the words and the thoughts that we've given today to be a blessing to every heart. I pray you'll encourage servants who are here that may be discouraged today. I pray that you will encourage those who are not serving to do so. And Lord, that you will help us to serve you all the days of our life and to have acceptable service. Oh God, that we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.